Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 429. I'm at Skydart's place. What are you playing over there?
I'm playing the Stanley Parable.
It sounds funny.
It's amazing.
Is that on Steam?
Yes.
Sweet.
But you can't play it on a Mac.
No. Gotta be PC. You're bi-platform.
I'm literally dual-wielding.
Oh, she has a hand on each platform.
I do.
Hey, At Midnight is finally on Comedy Central. It is the sort of game show that I host that's after the Colbert Report Monday through Thursday on Comedy Central, where we bring comedians on and essentially make fun of social media in a game show format. We had an amazing first week. Our guests were phenomenal. Everyone makes me laugh, but Kyle Kinane makes me laugh so much. So if you catch that episode last week, that one was particularly fun. This week's episodes have Eugene Merman and Kristen Schaal and Doug Benson and Matt Bronger and Patton Oswalt and Scott Aukerman and Matt Besser and Natasha Leggero and Steve Agee and Moshe Kasher. So watch it, Comedy Central, Midnight. The name is what time it's on, At Midnight. And follow us on the tweets. I'll be performing at the Carolina Theater in Durham, North Carolina on November 8th. And then a bunch of dates coming up in Chicago, Minneapolis, and Seattle in December. So go to Nerdist.com/calendar for information on that. I'd like to thank Stamps.com for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. It is easy to use. It is fast. Why would you ever go to a post office again? Don't answer that, because it's rhetorical, because I can't hear what you're saying. I can feel in the Earth's magnetic field that you're responding, but I can't quite make it out. It sounds like what it used to sound like to sign on to America Online in the 1900s. But Stamps.com will print out the exact postage you need, any class of mail you need. The postal carrier will come pick it up from your house. You never have to leave your house, because the world and people can really be a trial. So stay in, mail all your stuff, whatever you need. Right now there's a promo code, Nerdist. There's a no-risk trial, and when you use that, $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Nerdist. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. This episode is Ike Barinholtz, who, if you're not familiar with Ike, you should be, and you probably will be more. He is on the Mindy Project right now, which is Tuesdays at 9:30, 8 Central. But Ike is one of the funniest human beings you could ever meet. I mean, he's a friggin' riff monster. We can all keep up pretty well on the show, but when someone like Ike comes on, I feel like it just raises everyone's game. He is that unbelievably funny. So you should follow him on Twitter, Ike Barinholtz, and listen to this episode of the Nerdist Podcast number 429 with a new best pal, Ike Barinholtz. What are you snickering at me for?
Because you did your DJ voice again.
I did my DJ voice again. I had a new friend. Some sort of five on the roads. That traffic out there. Hey, I'll be a DJ at Peppers and Irvine this week. Come back for some free keychains.
Like an acid trip.
Yes, all morning radio sounds like a fucking acid trip. That's why. All right, I'm gonna go talk to Skydart about morning radio and watch her play the Stanley. I know you're gonna play the Stanley Parable. Okay, I've stopped recording now.
Okay, good.
I did not stop recording.
Oh,
all right, here it goes. Now.
All right.
Podcast.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Ike Barinholtz is here on the podcast. What did we do together recently? Was it the Awesomes panel?
We did the Awesomes panel at Comic-Con.
Yes.
That's my first time there.
That was your first time at Comic-Con?
Yeah.
What'd you think?
You know how everyone's like a nerd these days?
Yeah.
Like hot girls are like, I'm a total nerd. I watch Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like, there are like, at that panel, we had a Q&A, and like this guy stood up and was like, I have a question for Seth Meyers. My name is Black Spider-Man. And I was like, oh, wow, these are like real,
yeah,
true.
Donald Glover was there?
No. Well, and I think I was like, Miles Morales? Because that's Black Spider-Man.
That's a deep cut. That's fantastic.
But I remember Black Spider-Man, and yeah. Black Spider-Man was awesome.
He was amazing. I mean, I loved it. It was so cool. I saw a 400-pound guy walking down the street, And he's dressed as, I think, the only thing he could be dressed as, which is Bane.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like when Dark Knight Rises came out, every fat man was like, oh, thank God, I have a costume.
Finally.
Finally a costume that can hide my fat.
I could throw away the Blob costume.
Well, did you spend any other time at the Comic-Con, or was it just for the panel?
I was working. I literally just had a baby, like a week before that.
So How's your vagina?
It's pretty swollen still. I'm icing it now, though.
Laser it.
You're icing it right now?
I want to have another one before I start doing some surgery. Oh, but okay. I drove down. I did that panel with you guys. I met... what's his name? Eric Michael Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
There you go.
I was 1 for 3 on his name.
Eric Michael Tyson.
1 for 3. I met him, and then, I saw a bunch of semi-hot girls dressed up
Neil
like
Neil Michael Tyson.
Yeah. Neil Michael deGrasse Tyson.
So we can
Tyson.
See that the universe is a never-expanding sphere of matter.
Billions and billions.
There's billions and billions of stars out there. The universe is beyond your comprehension.
So you said a lot of Khaleesi's?
A lot of Khaleesi's,
taking
man.
Over, Khaleesi's taking over slave
so
Leia
many
costumes.
Khaleesi's. Well, the Khaleesi costume is not that... it's a Drag. Very simple,
yeah.
Cool... You know, like, you get the cool blonde hair, and you just get a little bit of the Dothraki garb, and you're good.
Yeah. My wife and I, for Halloween last year, I convinced her that we should dress up as Brielle and Jaime Lannister, and I would be Brielle, she'd be Jaime Lannister. I went to Universal Studios. I got the whole Edith Head costume building at my disposal. You pay $100 if you're an employee, and you get any costume you want. So we had full gear. We looked amazing. No one at this party, huge party at Hollywood Forever Cemetery, huge party. No one knew who we were, except for one woman came up to us, and she was dressed as Khaleesi, and she goes, Game of Thrones, and she had like 6 teeth. And I was like, oh, shit, okay.
And she just got out of the ground.
She just
She was just, yeah, I'm going to go back to bed now. That's pretty, what was your Jaime Lannister costume?
My wife was Jaime Lannister. My wife, I put like a beard on her, and I put like...
Oh, your wife was...
Yeah, I took like a cloak from the Russell Crowe Robin Hood, and then I tied her hands up, and I drew like a gigantic cloak. I drew like shit beard all over her face. And then for Brielle, I had like a full suit of armor and a giant blonde wig. And it was great. Amazing, but it was so underappreciated.
That's a great duo costume.
It was good. I feel like a lot of people will be doing it this year.
Yeah.
Because they were more of a storyline last year, but we were way ahead of the curve. So.
Yes, but something horrible matter. Has to happen to be a Jaime Lannister now.
Yes.
You gotta go around handless.
Yeah, you gotta go around handless.
Yeah.
You could just... Spoiler alert! You could hang the hand on your...
Go for a cable.
God, so many things were cut off last season.
Yeah.
They cut off that guy's dick.
Oh.
That was, I feel like, the one storyline that I was kind of like,
come on, guys.
Come on.
Maybe it happened in the books, but come on.
Actually, it didn't happen. That's the one storyline they kind of, like, created.
Yeah. He disappears for a while in the books, and he comes back, and then he just doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
George, what would you, if you could change the books, what's the one thing you would change?
Well, I would have a whole subplot where Lord Bolton cuts off that guy's dick.
that guy.
All right, back to my fried chicken.
Doesn't he look like he has the world's greatest recipe for fried chicken, George R. R. Martin?
George R. R. Martin's roasters. Why are we not? The second R is for roasters. George Roaster
Martin.
You know what? I've changed it. It's George Roasters Martin.
The extra roasting.
I think they actually had to cut down, from what I hear, they cut down a lot of the sex stuff.
Yeah.
In the television show.
Yes.
Because the actors were kind of like, hey, now that the show's kind of popular and we have some say,
yeah.
We kind of don't want to do this shit anymore.
Yeah, Dinklage is like, do I really have to have this hooker take a dump on my face? I think I've established myself as a popular character in a great show.
Well, we're not shooting right now.
Okay.
So the answer is yes. The answer is yes, I do. I just wanted clarification.
Oh, I love it, though. I love it so.
I love it, too. I really enjoy it. I want, you know, I've said many times before, I want more supernatural shit in the show. I want more fucking magic in the show.
Well, you had it last year with all the brotherhood of band of
the
brothers,
White Walkers,
the White, and then the guy that's
the
like,
White Walkers you got for like a second.
But I'm talking about the guy who's like, I've been killed 7 times.
Oh,
that guy
yeah.
was
that,
very
that, oh, yeah, that battle.
Magical. And I'm good friends with actually Carice Van Houten, who plays Melisandre, and that's a lot of supernatural
stuff. Milhouse's
and also
Milhouse's aunt. Yeah. She became a very famous actress in Holland. Still talks to Milhouse and Kirk.
Oh, good. She's not one of the Dutch Van Houtens.
No, she
is one of the Dutch Van Houtens.
She is a Dutch Van Houten. Yeah.
Well, my
cousin
is in Game of Thrones.
Do you remember the name of Kirk Van Houten's single?
Can I borrow a feeling?
Yes!
Borrow a feeling.
Can you lend me a jar of love?
Broken hearts need some healing.
Can you do a favor for a guy in love?
Then my favorite,
ew, Kirk, no.
My favorite joke ever in The Simpsons is when he's staying at that like apartment for men. And he's like, it's a bunch of cool single guys. And someone's like, hey, another raccoon died in the pool. He goes, I just threw it over the fence. Let Arby's deal with
it. Yeah, that was let Arby's deal with it. And also, that had one of my favorite visual gags, which was the woman who worked at the radio station, where she's like, can I borrow the keys, lover? I got to go change wigs. It's Tress MacNeille. She has a cigarette, and she takes a drink, and it just, with the cigarette in her mouth, and you just hear this, like, fucking genius. Such a great visual gag.
That's so good. So good. That show's going to last, man. I'm telling you. It's going to work. It's going to work.
It has. It's still around.
Yeah, but I think it's got a future.
You're also on the Fox Network.
Yes. Uncle Rupert. That's what I call him. Uncle Rupert Murdoch.
Uncle Rupert's channel.
Unky Rupert. You got to make it seem less evil.
Unky Rupert. Hello. Hello, Ike. I heard you doing Nettis today.
Yeah.
Tell Hardwick I'm going to fucking kill him.
You just tell him he'll know what it means.
He'll know what it means. Yes, Fox Network, Mindy Project.
The Mindy Project.
The Mindy Project. You're on that Indian Girls project, aren't you? I'm going to fucking kill her.
What?
I don't know why all of a sudden he wants to kill everyone.
He wants to kill everyone.
Yeah, that's how it
works. So was the Mindy Project a working title and then they're just like, fuck it?
No, actually, it was actually called It's Messy. Hmm. And then they're like, this is a show about a OBGYN. Maybe let's leave the word messy out.
Right.
So they just went over to the project, which I think is good. I like it.
Yeah.
It lets people know who she is and that's that true. She has a project.
That there's something going on.
And that things are happening.
Yeah.
What are some other titles they could have called that show?
Scalpula.
Scalpula. Mm. Yep. Pussily, we roll along.
Stirrups.
Yeah, because it's like socially she's stirring things up.
You might feel some pressure.
Yeah.
This will be a little cold.
Push it out, breathe.
Also, this is just three guys speculating.
None of us have any idea. Yeah. I have no idea what they go through.
Are we speculuming?
Kiss.
No, I'm just
starring Pat Smear.
How old is your baby?
3.5 months. I'm not kidding you. This morning, we woke up. We have a little baby monitor. We woke up to the sound of her shitting.
Hey,
like, it was like, right. Like, it was like, literally, it was like at like 7:15, her just like. We're like, all right, well, someone just shit.
That's good. I'm going to put that as a tone on my phone.
I'm already selling it. If you go to my Twitter page, there's a link where you can buy that sound of my daughter shitting. No pervos. Some guy in friggin' Hanover, Germany right now is like, oh, download.
Well, he just said not for no pervo, so.
No, yeah. Yeah, but I'm still going to do it anyway.
Damn it, the no pervo defense.
And what he has God made me.
I am French for some reason. I'm French-Canadian. Living in Germany. I'm also a pervo.
God, what an international pervert. He really gets around.
Hey, take it down, Tom Pervo. Hey, come on. Hey. Oh, look at those guns. Oh, what's up? Okay, I was fucking around. Now I'm getting serious. Now I'm getting serious. Jonas flexing. Jonas flexing. All the blood's rushing to his arm.
Oh, no, boy, that visual joke's gonna play real good.
Do another one. That's what that
guys,
is.
Look at his walk.
Oh, it's crazy.
They'll never know.
You just said they'd never know.
It was a good walk, though, in all seriousness.
So you have a 3-month-old baby.
3-month-old baby.
You're gonna keep it. You good?
We are gonna keep it. We decided to keep it. We were gonna considering having a fourth trimester abortion, but we are keeping.
But
this
you're
thing.
Keeping the baby.
We love her. Already got her commercial agent, getting her face out. They're working on her reel.
Good.
Man.
Which just right now it's just this.
It's number one on iTunes.
Yep. It's pretty good. iTunes Germany, it's blowing up. Have you heard baby shit?
my daughter is the number one BO artist. Butts over. She does butts over. That was the best one I could come up with.
I like it.
No, I don't. You don't. If you say you like it, you don't really like it.
No. I'm excusing laughter to just say I like
want
it.
You, I want you to know I acknowledge what you said, and I am a fan.
I'm acknowledging what you said, so there's not awkward silence. I'm making a noise to help carry the momentum of that clearly dead moment.
Being a polite guest.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't want to be rude. I don't know you very well.
That's funny. There's a sound for that.
Where would you are? What is are you IO or
mostly IO? We actually met like 8 years ago. We did an Armando Diaz show.
Oh, that's
you
right,
Armando Diaz. Yes.
Yeah, with Adrian,
with Adrian and Laura Kraft and all those guys. Yeah, I did it in Chicago, like back in like the 90s, and then I went to Amsterdam and did this thing called Boom Chicago, right? With like Seth Meyers and his brother Josh.
Oh, yeah, I know all about that.
Yeah. And I went there and did like a fucking ton of drugs, and and then I came out here. And that is my X-Men origin story.
Yeah. What?
That's pretty truncated.
Where's the mutant part? You just went to Holland and did drugs.
Yeah, I just done it. That's where I got my mutation.
I should be dead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. My mutation is I'm alive.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the Armando shows were great. There was sort of like, just to put in context, it's sort of a similar, but not quite similar, but it's the same kind of thing as like ASCAT, where it's like there's a monologist.
Yes. It was ASCAT before ASCAT.
Yes.
Yes. And before UCB moved out here for years, we had like a 4-year run where it was so good, where everyone could be like you or like David Cross or Patton, and had like these really great stand-ups come in and do, you know, they would talk about, tell a story from their real lives, and then we would, you know, do improv scenes around it.
Well, I was fine that just in talking to improvisers, they would get annoyed if a comic would come in and do material because like it's really hard to – they always say, don't try to – that's where you see stand-up and improv like butt up, where the comic is always like, I got to have a high joke per minute.
Yeah.
And if you're the monologist making jokes, then you're not leaving room for story for the improvisers.
Right. Well, you could always tell, too, if like they take the suggestion and the suggestion's like scurvy. Mm-hmm. Like scurvy. So my girlfriend and I broke up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I just go clearly right into their
Maybe she had scurvy. I don't
know. I don't fucking know. But her mom was a bitch. You know? They go right into there. But like that really doesn't happen a whole lot, especially at the Armando, because we got, you know, really good people.
That
stuff.
Was a great – the level of improv – I think Jack McBrayer was on that show, too.
Oh, McBrayer.
Pat Finn.
Dave Koechner would come and play all the time, and Sudeikis when he was between SNL and that. It was just a really, really, really fun group. I don't do it enough anymore because I have no time to live. But
You have a job and a child.
I have a job and a child. That's it. I'm done. And I like to watch football and television programs. So, I don't get to do it anymore, but it is fun. And you get every once in a while, you get one of those killer shows. But when you try to tell people the next day about an improv scene that went well, it's like it's the most depressing thing.
It's
like,
really, you had to be there.
We were in the White House, and then this guy comes in and he's like, I am an alien, and you're like, shut the fuck up.
Wait, you're in the
actual
White House?
You gotta remember that two scenes before that.
Yeah. It was a callback to earlier when Pat Finn came out, and he came out as a gunslinger.
Who's Pat Finn?
Pat Finn!
Oh, okay, now that you've said his name that way.
Yeah. So it's never works to tell someone how great an improv
No, what was. A fucking phenomenal cluster of improvisers.
When I first started in Chicago, I would go to the Armando show every week, and it was before UCB was UCB, so like... Like, the worst person playing would be, like, Matt Walsh, who's, like, the fucking greatest improviser ever.
Right.
You would have, you know, like Brian Stack and all the Conan writers now, and, like, it was amazing. It was such, like, Horatio Sanz and Tina and Rachel Dratch.
Was it Matt Dwyer around this time,
Matt
too?
Dwyer. Matt was, like, the lowest guy at the totem pole at that point. You know, and then he eventually became, like, a huge guy in the scene. So it was really – that's kind of where, like, that's, like, comedy college for me.
Did you do any stand-up in Chicago?
I've only done it a few times, and I've done well, and I'm like 3 for 3, and I'm like, I want to kind of hang my hat up a little bit, because I for me, stand-up is like, I hate people that are like, yeah, I do stand-up once in a while.
Right.
It's like, fuck, you got to fucking go out every night, I feel like, at least for years, and really like, you know, you got to die and bomb, and it takes so much work, and I've always just kind of been kind of a pussy like that. And
yeah,
just being
it's the
like,
worst.
It's the worst. Yeah. I mean, no, it's the I think it would be my favorite thing in the world, but at this point, I'm just like, I'm too old, you know what I mean? Like, I can't say to my wife, hey, I'm going to Tempe this weekend. You know, so I feel like I kind of a little bit missed the boat on that, but I love watching it.
If you really loved doing stand-up, you would figure out a way to do it. If you don't love it, then
do you love it?
I do.
You love it. How many times a month do you go up and do actual stand-up?
Well, in the non-summer months, it was almost every weekend.
Right.
I mean, I was on the road traveling, but now I can't because of work.
You have work.
Because I have work. So
Jonah, how often do you do it?
I average about just me going out and doing a stand-up set.
Whether it's at the store or whether it's on the road.
I do once a week. I host a show here with Kumail.
Yes.
And that's usually about it.
I'm
real lazy.
But I do. When I'm on the road, I'm doing an hour, and so for me to just like run around. I mean, like there's a point in your stand up where I think you need to get up as much as possible every time, just doing 6 minute sets. But I don't really. It's like to go do a 6 minute set somewhere right now. For
me, it's not enjoyable.
It doesn't really help that much because a lot of times like. All the stuff is in context.
Yeah.
And you're not trying to put together like a TV set.
I'm not putting together a TV set. Like so when I go, you know, I was just, where was I? I think maybe just at Cobb's. I was just at Cobb's in San Francisco. And then just in Boston too.
Yeah.
And then, so as soon as work wraps for me in November, I'll be back out on the road again.
See, I admire that so much. And I feel like at this point, I'm just like, It would be like just an old, out of shape guy trying to join like a CrossFit class. Oh. You know what I mean? He's like, I shit myself. I have to leave. But I still like every once in a while, like if like Seth Meyers was doing a show and he called me and said, hey, can you open for me? I would throw together like 15 minutes. And I could also do impressions. So I feel like I can milk that titty for like 8 minutes. And then that's my set. Like I'll fucking do Obama. I'll do Charles Barkley. I'll fucking, and then I'm out.
Charles Barkley?
Oh, of course. You know, yeah, I do Charles. The thing about Charles Barkley is it's a bit of a draw, and it's just talking. Like, one time, Rick Mahorn and I, we were in Milwaukee, and I got real fucked up. I mean, it's just like...
You know what I keep explaining? You go, my name is Humpty. Pronounce with
Humpty. It's the same thing. It's the Humpty dance. It's the Humpty dance. It is.
It's basically it's talking Humpty Hump.
There's a story I heard about Barkley where he was at the dinner with this guy one time. It's like some manager. And he was like, the manager said, who had the biggest dick? Like, what player had the biggest dick? And Barkley was like, oh, Manute Bol did, for sure. Manute in the locker room, he would take it out, and he would swing it, and he'd run up to you and be like, kiss it. And one night, I was in Milwaukee, and Rick Mahorn and I got a call. Manute was harassing one of the hotel staff, and we got in the elevator. So he couldn't do it. He's such a good guy. And we got down there, and she was like, he took his dick out and started swinging it. I'm like, okay, he did it.
Yeah.
And it's just like...
My name is Art Barkley, pronounced with Arkley. Oh, ladies, I like Sharkley. To fuck me.
And it works.
It does work.
To the internet.
It does work.
It does work. Meme it.
Instagram. Can I do it in 15 seconds?
It's good, but is it Instagram video?
I don't know. I'll Vine it.
Yeah.
Do you guys do Vine and IGVid?
I've failed on Vine.
IGVid. God damn it.
IGVid.
Igvid, you guys do it again? You guys do it again?
Biff.
It's. I feel like Vine is getting crushed by IGVid.
Yeah.
I don't see as much Vining as
no,
I did.
No, it's.
Yeah.
I feel like it might be a beta VHS situation.
Yeah, but like Vine is good for comedy.
Vine's better for bits because you only want like a quick joke.
Yeah,
you don't
exactly.
want like 15, you know, 10 seconds of shoe leather for a fight. Yeah.
But the thing is, the video quality on Instagram video is better because it has the stabilizer.
Mm-hmm.
You can make things look really gorgeous. Vine
and
just...
Facebook owns it.
Facebook.
So that's the upside to that.
Yeah. Right. Instagram is better for like taking like if you're watching like a horrible TV show and you're like, oh, this is the worst thing ever. I got to take a video of this and like send it to it. You know, that's what it's good for.
For a while, I was compiling all the times. And Ray Donovan, where the wife goes, "You crazy, Ray?" And I had like, it's like I have like a fucking good amount, but I have to comb through one more time.
Our showrunner is like Ray Donovan. Same thing every episode. He shows up, and some like Jewish studio head goes, "Oh God, Ray Donovan, I'm in big trouble." Like every episode. I also love too that he's a fixer.
Yeah,
like, he's supposed to get rid of the problem. And like the only thing I ever saw was he's like a huge party, and he like breaks this guy's arm in front of the whole party. It's like. Way to keep a low profile.
Yeah, always stay under the radar. Yeah.
Couldn't draw more attention to yourself if you tried.
Great show.
He's breaking the
That air. Guy wouldn't let his kids into a nice school because that guy was on the board.
Well, he deserved
if you
knew it.
The context.
And he deserved it to be publicly broken.
He was able to do that because that guy didn't have anything to do with his like, you know, illegal things. It had something to do personally. And you know, a Donovan doesn't take that shit.
No, God, Ray Donovan, I'm in trouble. I've done it now. Oh God, thanks for coming on Shabbos. I'm Jewish, so I can make these jokes.
Oh, you can
just to alleviate the uncomfortability of someone making a Jewish joke. I am Jew. Okay?
Hear me, oi.
Hear me, oi. I Am Jew, starring Will Smith.
He might do it. He might be like, that sounds like a...
Man, I'd do that. I'd do that shit.
I could take that on.
I could do that. I could play a Hebrew. I Am Legend, the first 15 minutes, I was like, new favorite movie. Next hour and a half, worst movie I've ever seen.
Yeah. So much promise. It was on TV the other day, and I was like, it's just so close to being like,
yeah, really good. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They missed the mark.
The dog part, no.
Nope.
Can't handle that.
No. Hancock 2, that's another one of those movies where you start and you're like, oh, this
finally
is the greatest movie.
Yeah.
What just happened?
What the?
Yeah.
Are we in the same movie? Yeah. Did you switch a reel from an entirely other movie that looks very similar to the one we were just watching?
With the same actors and
projectionist?
If so, crazy good job.
Very good on you. Right. Yeah. It was a seamless transition.
What a weird skill you've created.
What is it like living up there in isolation, by the way? I've never spoken to one of you.
Oh, my God.
I know, that was another one where it's like, oh, if you just, oh, you're so close. You're so close.
That's always worse than like a bad movie or like a movie that's bad all the way through.
Yeah, yeah.
When you're almost there.
Yeah, no. Yeah. I take joy in really bad movies. Yeah, I could watch them. Oh, God. Almost more than a good movie sometimes. I will watch a real piece of shit and just like relish in it. I love it.
There's my favorite bad movie right now is this movie called Gedevan.
Gedevan.
Yeah, they've been showing it at CineFamily a lot where it's called Get Even. But in the title sequence, they put the words so close together that it just looks like one word. So everyone just refers to it as Gedevan. And it's written, produced, directed, and starring a trial attorney from Los Angeles.
Oh, my God. So is this like The Room style bad?
Yeah. It's a little bit more capable as a movie than The Room, but it's just like there's this one like sex scene in it where they clearly had just two cameras on the sex scene, and then they played it all in one angle. And then just crossfaded to the other angle where it just started over.
Wow, that's egregious.
Yeah, it's real fucking weird.
I started watching, I was just looking at that Drive poster. I started watching Only God Forgives.
Oh, how is that?
It's the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm a fan of Drive. I love Valhalla Rising.
Yeah.
Gosling, whatever. But like, I turned it off 15 minutes in. But you guys, I encourage you to watch it. It's utter madness. Gosling is insane in it. Ryan Gosling, I get it. Okay, people, girls love him. Is he a good actor? Every movie he does this. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, where are you from? Brooklyn? It's like, what are you, a fucking cartoon? Like,
I mean, it's insane.
I don't know. Maybe he's great.
Yeah. That was like my Gosling impression.
I don't know.
Like, I don't want him.
Yeah. I don't want him. No, thanks.
I don't know. You know, I haven't... maybe he's one of those guys that doesn't do that much, and so people are like, oh, there's a lot going. I mean, I don't know. Well, I don't know.
What was the movie?
I didn't see Only God Forgives.
You have to see it. It's insane.
I have to see it?
No.
You just said it was really bad.
If you want to just watch someone into the depths of madness, it's crazy.
I couldn't get through Valhalla Rising.
I got really... and watch Valhalla Rising and really got into it. I for some reason, it was one of those movies that my wife clearly let me know, like, that's not for me. You watch it on your own. I got into it, loved it.
Gorgeous.
Gorgeous. Yeah. He's a great actor, but Only God Forgives is insane. Yeah. It's insane.
Yeah, that Gosling, I don't know. Yeah. Even like he had a lot of lines in a Crazy Sexy Love. Is that or Crazy Stupid Love?
Yeah. But even that, he's still like, I'm going to show you how to get a goyle.
Yeah, it's like, a goyle.
Dude, come on, man. Talk like a normal person. Yeah. You're from Vancouver.
Hey, she's your daughter.
He was a crazy, sexy, cool.
Crazy, sexy. It was crazy.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Don't go.
The whole score for that soundtrack should have been TLC's Crazy, Sexy, Cool for Crazy, Stupid Love. It should have been.
Little Ryan Gosling is on the phone.
And here comes Steve Carell to be a lovable dope.
Don't go chasing waterfalls. We could just go Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. It was just all Ryan Gosling plots. Just all of the Ryan Gosling.
Little Ryan Gosling got a fake girl that it takes around like she's living and breathing.
What's another Gosling movie?
I don't know.
What is another Gosling movie?
Drive. There's a fucking poster for it right there.
No, but we already did that one.
Blue Valentine.
Oh, Blue Valentine.
Yeah, which
I didn't see it.
Need input.
Sorry.
You just became like the worst friend. Sorry, I didn't see it. Like,
need input. TMI.
He's trying to.
TMI.
Basically, if it's trying to describe the last 4 minutes of the podcast to someone who had never heard it. All right, so they were doing this bit where they were singing Ryan Gosling movies as TLC songs, and then when they ran out, the one guy was the robot from Short Circuit. Then, like, then, everything about it just sounds so bad.
Then Pat Finn comes in.
Yeah. Who's Pat Finn? No,
Pat Finn!
Pat Finn! Oh, Pat Finn! I really do know Pat Finn, and he's fucking hilarious.
Hilarious, hilarious, man.
Who?
Pat Finn!
Oh. Pat Finn.
Pat
God damn it, Jonah.
Red Room! Pat Finn! It is. I'm referency today. What the fuck, man? Just too referency. Just way too.
To have you just do no more reference, I'd pay you $1 million.
No, I'd buy that for $1. What if Clarence Boddicker from RoboCop was actually Danny from The Shining? I think it would go something like this. Red rum, motherfucker.
Red rum, bitches, leave.
Red rum, bitches, leave.
It's the greatest line ever.
Red rum.
Red rum, can you fly, Bobby?
Who knew that you could do a Kurtwood Smith
impersonation? I do Kurtwood Smith, man. I love Kurtwood Smith. Great actor.
He is in the repertoire.
Oh, yeah, he's in there. He's no one's ever asked for it.
Dude, Kurtwood Smith, dude.
I do. I have a couple like that too. Where it's like Kevin McDonald.
It's Kevin McDonald from the Kids in the Hall. Hey guys, there's a cat on my head.
I do Arkin.
What do you mean? It's Aga. What the fuck are you talking about? Who cares?
No one's ever like,
let me hear your Arkin. Oh, yeah. You always have to just say the other character's name a bunch of times. And
yeah.
Line. Listen, Affleck, we're going to go to Iran and make this movie. Fuck you.
You should basically, your impersonation should be like an 80s cartoon character who only says its own name. Was like, Arkin. Arkin.
Arkin.
Arkin.
Alan Arkin. Fuck you.
Arkin. 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 Alan Barkin. It's in the name.
It's in the name.
It's all part of it. Can't spell it without Arkin. Can't spell it without... My name is Arkin.
We have come full circle.
Oh, man. I would imagine for you... Do you have a lot of, like, do you have any kind of exercising the comedy thing, just hanging out, fucking around with people anymore? Or is it pretty much like work, well, baby?
The good thing is I'm on set a lot. So, like, and even if I'm in the writer's room, you're surrounded by people that are into comedy and shit. So you got to do bits all day. Like, Adam Pally's on our show. Mindy's on our show.
Do you write on the show as well?
Yeah. I write on the show.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, no, it's fun. And my partner and I were on set. Like, we're kind of like the on-set writers. So we're kind of all day doing bits and imitations and stuff. And... some of them are bad. Sometimes you get really tired and shit, but you're constantly, you know, you're on a show. You're constantly talking. You're constantly, you know, running your mouth and doing bits. So you're flexing a lot.
The interesting challenge for you or any comedian, and I don't even have kids and it's still an interesting challenge for me, is how do you expend all that energy all day and still come home and not be a cock to your significant other?
You come home so late, they're all sleeping.
Oh, no.
And then in the morning, you're
very generous. Yeah. And then in the morning.
It's tough. Like, I'll say to my wife, like, oh, God, I got no sleep last night. Like 6 hours of sleep. She's like, oh, you got 6 hours? Oh, my God. Every 2 hours, I was spraying breast milk in this little monster's face. You dickhead. So, yeah, it's tough.
God, that kid, she's really milking that tit.
Oh, she really, I mean.
She's really milking the impression tit.
She is. But, yeah, it's and then on the weekends, you just kind of play with the baby all day.
Now, did your wife think she was watching, like, mommy videos but was watching porn? Because why is she spraying it all over the baby's face?
She watches Lactating Mamas 4. Have you guys seen that?
Yeah, it sounds good as 3.
It's, though. Well.
They really sold out. When Ryan Gosling came on.
Yeah. Spray me in the face with tit milk. Yeah.
I like that. I'm a monster.
I'm a monster.
Oh, shit.
Are you guys, so you're in production right now?
Yeah, we
until what, like Thanksgiving maybe?
Yeah, we get like a week off of Thanksgiving and then we come back. We get like a week off of Christmas and then we go to like March.
Oh, that's great.
It's good. It's a lot of work, but it's fun. You know, people, I think they like the show and It's like, it's such a fun group. We got like writers from 30 Rock, the guy who wrote on The Simpsons for like 10 years. He's got crazy stories of The Simpsons. So it's fun. It's a super fun job. And, you know, and then in the off season, you try to like book a movie. I got a movie coming out.
What's the movie?
It's called Neighbors with Rogan and Zac Efron.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
I've never gave a shit about Zac Efron before this movie, and now I'm kind of obsessed with him.
Did you see 17 again?
Yeah, he's actually really good in that.
He's great in that, yeah.
His body, okay, I'm going to get in a weird area for a second.
No, go for
it. I was with Rogan, and there's a scene where he takes his shirt off, and he's not the same species as us. Like, he's one of those guys, like Rogan goes, that's a guy who definitely doesn't have to wake up to shit. He takes care of himself. But yeah, so that's coming out in May. But the rest of the time, it's just the show.
Did you ever audition for SNL? You must have done that.
Well, I did Mad TV for 5 years.
Oh, you did Mad. That's right.
Yeah. So I never got to audition for SNL. I came out here and was like a waiter for a year, and then when I was like 25, I got hired to Mad, which was like super fun for like 3 years. And then after a while, you're like, "What are we doing here, guys? Let's step it up. No more fucking wrestlers on the show. Like every week." Like I always said, like I was very young and brash. And like my first week there, I was like, we should never have guests on the show ever. Like it's stupid. SNL, like you'll click on SNL and you'll see like fucking Steve Martin 69ing with Paul McCartney. Like,
yeah.
And then you'll turn over us and we're like, we have Todd Bridges. It's like stop doing it. It's a bad game to play. But they had The Rock on one time, you know? And it got like a rating spike or a slight rating spike. So after that, the owner of the show, who's this old guy who was really out of touch, he was like
Alfred E. Newman.
Alfred E. Newman, yeah. old Alfred E. Newman.
What?
Still was always smiling. But he was like, no, we got to have wrestlers on the show. The kids love wrestlers. So you would come to, you'd write the sketch and you'd come to shoot it on Tuesday. And they're like, instead of you in the sketch, there'd be like Triple H. Whatever. Jesus. One time I got there and I saw the call sheet and it said Edge. And I was like, did we get the Edge from
U2?
U2? And I'm like, no, I was like, Edgerrin James, the running back from the Colts? And like, no, the shaving gel? What the fuck are we talking about?
These are all the edges I know.
I don't know anymore. There's no more edges. There can't be a fourth edge. There is a fourth edge. He's a wrestler. And so, so then after a while, you kind of like, we're like, oh, I'm ready to do something else.
What if it's that kids just like rocks? And then he totally missed the data point.
There was
a
boulder in the background of one of those scenes. Yeah. That's what it was.
We could save the show.
God damn it. Come here. I got a great quartz sketch.
Oh. I always had the kind of most embarrassing soul-bearing auditions were always the Mad TV auditions.
They're the worst. They were the worst.
I auditioned for it like 3 years in a row. And
you didn't get it? See that?
No.
But like that just goes to show you. We had a really fun cast. Like we had like Key and Peele were on the show and stuff. But then there were also people like Kristen Wiig auditioned a bunch, and I was like, if Kristen Wiig doesn't make it, what the fuck are you doing? Like, and they are the worst. They like when you come in and they're like, do characters and impressions, and I was like, well, I can do bad impressions. I can't even do bad characters. Like, I can't do characters. I can't do that shit. Can you do characters?
And I mean, just other than like, well, look, I'm doing a character.
What is more embarrassing than walking in and being like, hello,
I'm
Sloppy Joe, man? It's so fucking lame.
Oh, I feel like I've told this story on the podcast before. This is what happens when you have a podcast for a long time. But one of the times, I feel like it was for Mad TV. I had this Craig Kilborn impersonation, which was sort of like
timely.
Yeah.
Well, this is how long ago it was.
Oh yeah.
He was still on the air.
It's a weird
he was still on the
have.
Air at the time.
Yeah.
Kilborn was still on the air at the time. And there, it wasn't really anything specifically that I was saying. It was just his joke structure to me. It was always like, blah, 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 blah. Here's the joke. And so
that holds up for the record.
Really? That really does. Caster didn't know how to tell a joke, probably.
So the casting woman was like, oh, okay, that's funny, but like she sort of missed the point of what it was. I was like, well, this is sort of a generic, and she was like, okay, but I, you know, like he needs specific information, like so. This is honest to God what she said. What would Craig Kilborn say about the Egypt Air crash? There had just been a plane crash that day, and I was like, I don't think he would say anything jokingly about this horrible plane crash that happened today. But the worst part was I still tried to do it.
Oh.
Because I'm an auditioning
and
performer.
And they all died.
And it was didn't work out well. I don't know what it was. And it was just, that was one of those ones where I did not like the person who asked me to do that, and I hated myself for more.
It's soul shattering.
Well, when you're on the spot, then you're so much in, like, I gotta please him.
And if you say no, you're for sure not getting the job.
Yeah, exactly.
A weird yes,
but
you
to be
might get
fair,
it.
Yeah. If I was going to stand up for something, that would have been the time.
Yeah, that's the time.
We had great people that would send in submission tapes. Like, we had this one guy in Cincinnati who sent us a tape. And he had three self-tape sketches on it. One was, do you remember, Van Down by the River, Matt Foley?
Yeah.
He just did that verbatim. Literally the same characters verbatim. Then he did one for, it was a commercial parody for, like, a butt plug that was, like, the most vilely homophobic, disgusting, like, grotesque, explicit. And then he did one where he comes, it's a bunch of school children and him. And at the time, Ken Griffey, the guy was from Cincinnati, and Ken Griffey Jr. is a baseball player. He was getting shit from the Cincinnati media for not playing while he's injured. They're calling him, like, a baby. So this guy is in a school with, like, actual children, and he's in blackface in a Reds jersey. And he's literally like, they were like, why won't you play, Mr. Griffey? And he's like, I won't play because I'm a little baby. It was just like, we hired him. It was Mike McDonald.
Yeah.
Disclaimer, it was not Mike McDonald.
It was Mike McDonald from the Doobie Brothers. Yeah. Michael McDonald. I'm sorry.
Put a black face on my whole face. Put a black face on. Oh, yeah. What's wrong with a black face? What kind of party on now?
That's a solid Mike McDonald.
Yeah. Dude, in blackface.
Yeah. Blackface. That was beautiful.
Yep.
But
it's not racist if you sing it.
Well, that doesn't make sense. Why wouldn't it be racist if you sing it?
It's just not. Smoke bomb.
And then he just disappears. That's how you get that stuff.
Oh, my God.
Well, you know what? You just say you didn't have characters, but you were a character on Eastbound and Down. That was like a pretty... That was a violent Russian guy.
But that's almost just like an impression of a Russian, like a guy from Eastern Promises.
Yeah.
I was going to go in and audition. It's like one of my favorite shows, and I was going to audition for the Sudeikis part before they offered it to Sudeikis, and they called me as I was in my car, and they were like, they're on to a bigger star. And I was like, ooh, that fucking sucks. And they're like, can you do a Russian accent? So I was like, oh, yeah, I could do, like, a really bad one and just kind of bluff my way into that. And then I think just because of in the audition you read with Danny,
who's
the best improviser ever, and if you're able to do a little bit of improv with him and you can kind of keep the accent, they were like, yeah, you should do it.
That's right.
But it was fun.
That was a great character.
Did you guys watch the season premiere?
Haven't watched it yet, no, because we haven't saved. So my
really
wife
funny.
Didn't watch it.
Really, really funny.
Yeah, I've heard good things.
Good stuff.
Is that the one that Whittles didn't work on this season?
Whittles actually wrote my first episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Wow. He's the best, that guy.
Yeah.
He's a party animal.
Loves his fish.
Yeah, loves fish. Also thinks he can legitimately hit a baseball from a real major league pitcher, which I don't want to burst his bubble, but it's like, just eat more Cheez-Its in the fucking writer's room, pal.
It ain't going to happen.
Is he still working on Eastbound?
No, he's back at Parks.
Back at Parks.
Is he showrunning Parks?
No, he's a supervising producer.
Mike Schur is still showrunning.
Mike Schur, okay. Got it.
Things aren't going to go that great for Harris Williams. Maybe wait till he's 29 to showrun something.
My name is Whittles. Pronounced Whittles.
What was that thing that Besser did? Like for some reason, Besser just like saw that there was a guy named had a last name Whittles and then made a whole sketch called Skittles for Whittles.
Yeah, I wrote a sketch about Whittles versus Whittles. I don't know. I don't give a fuck if it's funny or not.
Yeah, we're like the Fugazi of comedy.
Him and Poehler came to do a workshop at I.O. when I was like 18. And they split it in two halves. And Poehler was like super energetic for the first one and inspiring. And she was like, we're going to fucking get out there and do scenes. It was so great. And then Matt like tried to teach us this weird, like, weird New York UCB form that was incorporating like kung fu moves and stuff. And, like, it wasn't going great. And the only thing he goes, maybe we shouldn't have done this.
Thanks, Besser.
Yeah, I was terrified of that guy. But he's now you see him, he's such a nice guy.
Well, he's all softened up from having kids.
Yeah, he's got a kid. He's so nice.
Yeah.
Are you softened up from having a kid yet?
Yeah. Well, I've always a huge, like, Hollywood phony nice guy. Hey, how are you? Hi. I don't know who you are. But it has
Pat Finn!
Pat Finn! God, how are you? But yeah, I'm a huge pussy now. I cried. Now we watched like we were flipping channels and Annie came on, like
with the old Annie
yeah.
with like Albert Finney and
Ann Reinking and
Carol Burnett.
Carol Burnett, Tim Curry, Bernadette Peters, and then can you name the girl that played Annie?
Her name.
Got 20 bucks in it for you if you do.
Okay. Yes.
No, that's not it.
Okay, no, wait. Hang on.
I think I know it.
Her name. Okay, fuck. I'm remembering the Annie from Broadway who was Andrea McCardle.
Yes, that's
okay.
Andrea McCardle.
And this girl was Aileen Quinn.
Yes!
Yes! Yes!
Damn it!
Yes!
God damn it!
Yes! Fuck. Another Annie 20! I don't know how I'm making so much money this week on Annie Trivia.
That was impressive.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I never thought he would have got that.
I'm going to put right this goes right back into my ass where that name came out of.
You got to.
No, I can't take your money.
It's fun. No, it's not funny if I can take it back.
All right, fellas.
No, Jonah, you can take it.
That was really impressive.
What else are you watching?
Well, I loved Breaking. Mm-hmm. Over. Mm-hmm. What'd you guys love the finale?
I loved it.
Amazing.
Yeah, I thought it was perfect.
It was. I mean, and first of all. Not surprising. Like, I literally 3 days ago, I was like, well, he's obviously going to kill them, and he's going to set Jesse free, and he's going to die, and the kids will get the money somehow. Like, so there was no huge twist, but you didn't fucking need one. You didn't need a huge, crazy twist.
No, you didn't. You just needed it to fucking stick the landing.
It was so good. It was so perfect. It's so crazy. I was watching my wife, and we actually know Vince, because we've just met him at parties. He's a great guy. And the first thing you hear on this episode is our favorite song, which is El Paso by Marty Robbins. Yes. It's literally, like, the song we play him the most in our home. It was really good.
I did think that today, though, whatever happened to what was the guy from the impound lot? Yeah, the dump or whatever. Or the...
Oh, Larry Hankin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, you mean the the old guy.
The old guy who was he was the Kramer.
Old Joe. I think they called him Old Joe or
something.
Old Joe.
His name's Larry Hankin. He played the fake Kramer in the pilot episode.
Oh,
of
really?
Seinfeld. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And he, that was a character where
because he knew about everything.
He was amazing.
Yeah. Amazing. He's an amazing actor. Dude.
And that was a great character that I always. There was one of those.
Well, he's really smart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just sort of like the Breaking Bad extended universe. Where I want to see a whole Walrus Man show. You know, like I want to see a whole Larry Hankin. Yeah. Show.
It was so good. What else am I watching now? I guess we're watching Homeland. Do you guys watch Homeland?
I haven't watched it.
I wanted to be so good, but it's sometimes you're just like, what's up with all these actors? Are they Canadian? Like, there's something off about them. I don't know. And then Boardwalk Empire, like, you want to love it, but it's sometimes it's Boardwalk Empire.
I was told to keep up with it, but like in the first season, I was just kind of.
First season was rough. Second season, amazing. Third season was okay. This season, it's just like, it's a lot of Jeffrey Wright talking slowly, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you watch Dexter?
I was never got into Dexter. Man. I heard it's great. I heard it's amazing.
Yeah, except for the last two
seasons. What was the finale? Why were people so?
Oh, I don't know.
Have you ever seen the movie Dr. T and the Women?
Oh, you explained this before.
Yes, I actually have.
Yeah.
Can you not record me saying that I've seen Dr. T and the Women, please?
It ends quite similarly.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, I haven't
He
seen
turns
it.
Into Richard Gere.
Yep. Yep, and Shelley Long shows up.
She sure
it's,
does.
You know, at the end of Dr. T and the Women, he his life has basically fallen apart and he needs to go. And so he gets in his car and drives into a tornado.
Yes.
At the end of Dexter, everything's fallen apart.
I haven't seen it.
Spoiler. You don't need to. Because it's the worst.
I know, but maybe I do want to see it at some point. Maybe I do want to see it at some point.
Don't, because you won't have to watch the rest of Dexter.
No.
Plug it. Did you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Is that good? Is that worth watching?
Oh, I didn't see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. yet because I was on the road.
I TiVo'd it. Yeah. I heard it's good. And Brooklyn Nine-Nine is very, very funny. Too,
it's very funny. Yeah. And Ray Donovan's really watching.
Oh, God, Ray Donovan. Yeah. I really stepped into this time.
Yeah.
Where you been, Ray? Ray, I'm in big trouble. Meet me at the synagogue.
You're just doing Elliot Gould because that's the one guy that's like...
Yeah. No, Ray, I made a shiver. You got to help me out. I murdered a hooker.
There are movies that are in the back of my head that I often think, and of course this is easily verifiable with the internet, but were there not an internet, would drive me crazy, where you go, did I... dream that was a movie, or there was a movie with Elliot Gould and Bill Cosby called The Devil and Max Devlin.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, from like 1976.
Something like 1976. Yeah. And all I can remember was that Elliot Gould was supposed to go around and sign kids' souls
up,
for
yes.
the devil.
Yes.
But then I don't remember anything else about the movie.
I haven't seen it in years. He was the biggest box office star in the world in 1975, or in America. Like, he was huge, Elliot Gould.
Yeah.
And then I guess he was just... kind of a dick.
Yeah,
and everyone's like, oh yeah, we can't work with you anymore.
Yeah, someone I was once reading something and like someone said like he's pretty much the guy from The Long Goodbye.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like he's just kind of like, oh fuck you.
Are you like a certified expert at the movie game?
No, not great, but I mean I'm decent at it.
Because I feel like there's a group of guys that I know that are I feel like I'm the best at it. But there's other guys that I play once in a while. And I'm like, God, dude, like Mark Duplass is really good. Rogan's really good. I feel like you guys would be really good.
I'd be okay, you know, with 70s and 80s movies.
Yeah.
Not so much with 90s films.
For me, 90s romantic comedies, I know them down.
I know every single one of them. Every action movie from the 90s, I know. Yeah. Like, I can tell you Jeff Speakman films. Like, it's like
fucking. Well, what is it? What was the Jeff? Perfect Weapon?
Perfect Weapon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Perfect Weapon.
Yeah. Can you tell me who his boss was in The Perfect Weapon?
No.
Fucking James Earl Jones, dude.
Oh, shit.
I remember this shit, and then twice a month, I have to call my wife and be like, can you go into my computer and get my PIN number for me. I can't remember. Like, it's so fucking lame.
Yeah, it's S P E A K M A N.
Yep.
Speakman.
Speakman. Don't know how it fit, but fuck it.
What was the form of martial arts that they were trying to sell with him?
Sticks. It was like a weird thing.
But it had a name.
I can't remember the name of it.
Stiku. Stick fight.
It wasn't Stiku. It wasn't. And then there was Gymkhata was another one.
Gymkhata was like 88. Gymkhata was so capitalizing on like the U.S. Olympic fervor.
Olympic,
from like
84.
Yeah.
How can we turn this into murdering?
Mm. Well, there was they showed a bunch of this movie at CineFamily, and they said there's like a whole genre that happened after like Karate Kid, and when like Karate got real big, and they called it dojo cinema.
Yeah.
And it was basically all these guys that had, you know, dojos, like, you know, training, karate training places are like, we have a bunch of people, we have the money, let's make a movie.
We have the cocaine.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Like, that's why I love 80s films is because unabashedly, it's 90% of them are made, shot, conceived of, edited on massive amounts.
Yeah. We could shoot the entire thing in 4 days.
Miami Connection is one of those movies.
The movie Soul Man is about a rich white person, rich white man, dyeing his skin black to steal a Harvard scholarship from a black woman.
Yep.
That's the kind of shit.
A black woman in need.
In need. That's the kind of shit you think of on Coke.
And, and gets away with it at the end.
Yes.
Spoiler alert.
Still stays there.
Yes.
And she fucking falls in love with him.
And who was the boss? James Earl Jones.
Earl Jones, yep.
That one always kind of irritated me. Like, I remember seeing that movie in the 80s and sort of feeling like, something's not okay about
this. It's wrong.
And because I was, you know, I was young, but I was like, okay, but I like to see Thomas Howell.
Yeah, he was awesome.
And I loved Ari Gross.
Ari Gross, man. Come on.
But it always felt like that. In the very end, he's like, you learned a great deal. You learned what it was like. And he's like, no, I didn't. What do you mean? Because if I didn't like it, I could always get out of it. It's not the same. You've learned a great deal more than I thought. We won't press charges.
That's literally writers being like, is that enough of a lesson?
Yeah.
Enough really? Oh, no, I got it. I fucking got it. I have James Earl Jones tell me you learned another lesson. Ah, I fucking died.
Well, he died, so I guess this is the shooting script.
Any revisions? No, fuck, he's good.
Well, by revisions, do you mean we can revive this man?
No, he's fucking gone.
He's died.
No, there's no salmon revised for him. He's fucking
His
gone.
His heart died in what can only be described as a Coke-splosion. There is blood and white powder all over the walls. So are we shooting Soul Man?
I don't know. I'm going to sniff this guy's fucking organs.
It's going to secrete out the pores.
It really... Yeah, that's right. It's funny to take those movies in context and be like, what if you pitch Soul Man today?
You would be taken to the Los Angeles County limit and kicked out. Don't fucking come back.
No longer welcome you.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's right. And he totally gets away with it.
They
don't kick him out of Harvard. Do you think Harvard would be like, excuse us, are you sure this is the correct message we should be sending for Harvard? That someone could put on blackface and we'd be like, okay, we're not going to kick you out.
They asked the president of Harvard. He's like, no, it's fucking great. I love it. It's good. It's going to enrollment's going to go up.
Okay. So you accepted someone under false pretenses.
That's right.
They stole money from an underprivileged person of a different race.
Yeah.
And you're basically just going to let them stay in the school.
Yeah, put fucking Harvard's name on it. We're good. Fucking, I love it.
Harvard. Those fucking pussy cocksuckers at MIT wouldn't let this shit happen. Fucking nerds. Yeah.
Do you think some guys tried to get away with blackface after that movie, going, no, I'm not in blackface. I'm in Soul Man.
Well, no, well you need tanning pills.
That's
which
the thing.
Don't exist.
Yeah, yeah. That's the thing is that they totally. That's that was not, the way they got around it. They're tanning pills.
Well, also, there's them. Those coked out writers are like, what were you, shoe polish? You put fucking shoe polish in his face?
No.
What? Tanning pills. Are you sure those are the thing? Yeah, it's a fucking thing.
What if he falls into a pit of something? Like,
No. It's got to be like something he can take so it doesn't fucking rub off.
So he can still do coke? He can still do a lot of coke?
Yeah, he can do gummers and shit.
Oh, my fucking God. Where's all the enamel on my teeth? Why is it on my hand?
It must have been. This must have been the grossest fucking city to live in like 1986. Yeah. Like everyone's running around like half hard-ons. There's car accidents everywhere, and all the women are mean. Just like what a fucking shithole.
Don't need nothing but a good time. It's like the fucking Sunset Strip.
Crash. Oh, I got a weird boner now.
Fuck it.
That was the slogan of the city.
Fuck it.
Fuck it. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
I wish I was there. Yeah. We would have been so fucking rich. God.
No, but then you would have lost it in the 90s.
Oh, yes.
Can you imagine just like that idea of being like super coked up, balls to the wall kind of thing, and then fucking like grunge and everything else comes along and the sort of like, and then the drugs change.
Right.
And, like,
yeah. Fucking weed? Fuck that shit. I'm going to the rainbow where I fucking belong. You still see those guys, by the way. You know, you go to the comedy store, you go see those guys. Yeah. Those guys are stuck in 1988. It's fascinating to watch.
Yeah.
I haven't been to the comedy store in ages.
Where do you perform at here?
Usually here. Because we do our shows downstairs.
Yeah,
because it's, you know, usually I'm gone on the weekends, which is when you would perform, like, at the Improv.
Right,
you know, and so it's like, you know, I don't really, when I'm in town, again, to, like, call up and, like, you know, say, hey, can I go up on Saturday night? And then it's like, you get 10 minutes and,
that's
know.
My thing with, like, Improv. Someone asked me to do a show, I'm like, oh, that means I have to, like, my car.
I know it sounds like I'm being lazy.
But if
you're a young comic, you should do those things.
Yes.
But at a certain point, it's just like, because 10 minutes in front of a paid crowd is sort of a weird thing because you go, well, if I just go up on stage and do shit that I know is going to work, why do I need to go down there and do that? I already know that's going to work. But if I'm going to go workshop stuff, I don't mind workshopping stuff in the body of a long set because I can still not make people feel like they've had money taken away from them.
Yeah,
if I go up with a notebook and for 10 minutes and I'm experimenting and then people are like, what do we,
and then if you die too, you go home and you just feel like shit.
Feel bad and then you feel bad for them and it just doesn't feel so.
You feel bad for them.
I've already mapped out all the possibilities in my head.
I know this how this is going to go.
I've already played
unhappy audience.
The only winning move is not to play. So I don't do it.
No, that's good.
It's about an hour. Is that an hour, Katie?
Sorry?
Are we at an hour?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
Dude, you guys, that's crazy.
You're fun, Ike Barinholtz.
Come on, guys. That was fun. That was nothing but a good time.
And I don't get better than this. Take the tan pills, go to Harvard,
and steal a scholarship from a poor black girl.
Yeah, write it down.
That's good. That should be the fucking theme song.
That's going to be the fucking theme song. The fucking theme song is Soul Man. Well,
let's
really
fuck. Let's fuck.
I'm just in your imagination. Just fucking get on my cock. Let's have flaccid imagination sex.
Oh, Jesus, you guys.
Thumb it in.
I can't believe you guys are paying.
Thumb it in.
Oh, shit.
You're not kidding.
Wait. I was told $10,000.
Who told you that?
My
guy in front of the comedy
agent. My agent. I'm going to call him. No, Ray Donovan, I messed up. I told my client he's going to get 10 grand for doing Nerdist.
Hey, did you get the 10 grand? Did you get the 10 grand?
Yeah, I already called Carlos. He's on the witch.
All the podcasts are getting 10 grand. All the podcast guests are getting 10 grand now. Everyone's getting 10 grand now.
Oh, my God. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, Ike. So, Mindy Project is
Tuesdays on Fox at 9:30, 8:30 Central. And it's a really funny show, and you should watch it.
What's your name on Twitter?
At Ike Barinholtz. IkeBarinholtz.
Nice. Well, I had a nice exchange with Mindy Kaling on the tweets the other day, who was very lovely.
Oh, when she was talking about other shows?
Yeah, other after shows.
My favorite one was, Low Winter Blab. That was my favorite one. You got those shows, by the way, are so fucking entertaining that you do. Like, I watched every single Talking Dead.
Oh, you're very
love Talking nice. Bad. It's so good, man. That's what I'm the most excited for, the new Talking Walking Dead.
Yeah, I just saw. I went to the premiere last night.
How is it?
It's great. The first episode play. It's really the first episode is like. Why shit? And I can't say anything.
Don't say anything. Yeah. I saw a like 7-minute teaser for it,
yeah.
And it was just like,
looks great.
Okay, that's what I want.
Yep.
Like the season 3 fucking tension, hot shit. Yep. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I want.
Apparently, it just gets.
Dude, I'm so excited.
I think there's a, you know, Talking Bad was a fun after show to do because, you know, I also knew it was only going to be 8 episodes and I wasn't going to be just doing after shows forever.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So I probably, you know, I probably won't. This is like when I
Are
think,
you not going to do it again?
Well, no, because I thought as a joke it'd be really funny to go on Twitter the Monday after and be like, hey guys, Talking Bad just got picked up for 2 more seasons just to see. They're the changing. People that
right.
like the trolls, yeah. you're like, fuck you, yeah. fuck it. You're like the people who took it literally,
changing the name to Reminiscing Bad,
Reminiscing yeah. Bad. Yeah. But we
just remember when Badger.
Then that one time,
remember that?
it's so fun though because that's what you do after the show, anyways. Is you fucking my wife and I talk about it and watching people who are fucking funny, like Hater coming on being like, yeah, that was great, I loved it, it was like it's fantastic. I do impressions of other impressionists.
There yes. was someone came up with a great one for Hell on Wheels, and I wish I could find their Twitter account because so I could give them credit. But it was Spoken Wheels. Like, God damn it,
that's pretty good.
That was a pretty good one. So
Rubicon awesome. Conversation.
Probably
it's a little late.
Hey,
it's a little late,
nice.
But
ooh, you've been sitting on that one, Jonah. Yeah.
That was off the top of the dome.
Mm. Wow. You better close that dome so
no
that
way,
shit don't get
the
down in the world. Oh. Dome. Under the dome. Hank. Dead. No!
I met him.
Oh, he's great.
He's the coolest guy. Yeah, at one of the Emmy parties.
Such a sweet guy. They're all really nice.
They're awesome dudes.
So thanks, Ike.
Thank you guys so much.
Enjoy your
burrito. Pronounced with Judgeito.
God damn it.
God damn you guys.
One of them is Hampton.
Hampton.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com, click on the radio microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Nerdist for a $110 bonus offer, including a digital scale and $55 of free postage. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist.